Hey, welcome to the Rockcast. We're having a little different episode here. We have me and Robbie Denning, the two owners of Rockslide. We decided that we should probably give Jordan a break and come on and go over an article that we just posted up on Rockslide. It's the 2020, basically top gear picks from each individual staff member that we have on the Rock staff. Robbie, since you're number one, I will let you start out. What you got?
All right. And just a tiny bit of history on this. We've done this. This is about our third one. I think Tanya did the first one for us. And
yep.
It takes a lot of organization to get all the riders together. You know, if people don't know how Rockslide works, I mean, Ryan and I live 500 miles apart. So it's not like we can all sit down at a table and hammer all this out. But what we do is we, you know, we publish 100-150 different gear reviews a year. As we get towards the end of the year, we just ask our riders to, you know, pick their best piece of gear. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be from that year. So this is the 2020 Rockstaff top gear picks. But you'll see if you go in and you actually read this on Rockslide that some of this gear is from previous years. So the reason it made the list is because we like to talk about gear we've used a couple of years, and that's always a challenge when you do a review for something, because rarely do you get to really test its durability or longevity. You know, so like a tent, it may perform great, you know, and even if you use it for a whole season, is it going to last you 10 years? You know, so sometimes you have to guess on some of that stuff. So because of that, like I noticed Matt Cashel put his cryptic altitude line in there, but that was a review he did last year, but he just was so happy with it to, you know, have a set of clothing that continues to run year after year. So there's a little bit of that in there. Most of this is stuff that we did in 2020. And you'll also, if you go on, it's on the rockslide.com homepage. That's basically our online magazine page. That's where all of our articles are posted. If you jump on there and you look at it, one thing you're going to notice is not everything on here is from a sponsor. The riders that work for us throughout the year, they're working with sponsors and non-sponsors. If they like a piece of gear, you know, we give them the publishing space to talk about it. You know, we want it to benefit our members, whether that particular piece of gear is from a sponsor or not. So I don't know. I didn't add it up, but there's probably 20-30% of this stuff that's not even from sponsors. And then just kind of one final thing, people ask me this sometimes, is, you know, all our riders are freelance riders. Okay. So they can say what they want. They're not working often directly with the sponsor when they're working on this gear, unless they just have a question on how it works, or, you know, something, or if they're having a problem or something like that. It's, we get the gear in their hands and we turn them loose. So, nothing is totally unbiased, obviously, but, you know, it's about as unbiased as you can get. And, so we're pretty proud of that fact. And, so that's just a little kind of something to think about as you listen to this podcast and read through this. So the pieces of gear that I chose, what did I pick here? I picked three or four things. Was the Arrowhead muzzleloaders upgrade. They have a barrel upgrade for a TC Encore. I bought a TC Encore muzzleloader in 2012. I just could not get that thing to shoot conicals. Okay, and for a lot of the states I hunt, Idaho, Colorado, you have to shoot conicals. So I just put it in the closet and kind of forgot about it. And I mean, I shot hundreds of rounds through that thing. I never could get it to shoot very well, you know, less than a 4-inch group. And Arrowhead came on last year, and Luke sent me a barrel up. I actually bought the barrel and paid for it. And what a tack driver. Half MOA out of a 45 caliber muzzle loader. So that's on there. The unknown munitions. I know you picked these guys too, Ryan. They're what do you call them, Ryan? They're a custom ammo developer. Is that a good thing to summarize what they do?
Yeah. They basically hand load custom ammunition, and they'll load it to Sammy spec for any, you know, any 270 or any, you know, 300 Win Mag, or they'll load custom ammo to fit your specs or your loads.
Gotcha. So that's what I've been shooting my own hand loads in my 270 Winchester short mag the last, what, 4 or 5 years since that Christensen Arms Summit tie. And, you know, I was getting one MOA. That's good enough for me. And, you know, it was a 7-pound gun, so it was a little challenging to shoot anyways. But when Unknown Munitions came on, I went ahead and sent him my load, and he turned around 30 rounds of ammunition to me in about 2 weeks. All I had to do was go shoot and chrono him and send him the data, and he did some more tweaking. And long story short, he cut my MOA in half. And just as important, he saved me a lot of reloading time, because I really do like to reload. You know how it is, Ryan. You just get busy, and man, it's a couple of days before the season. You're freaking out thinking, geez, I got to put some loads together. So he kind of solved that problem. My next one was the Slick 624 tripod with the Outdoorsman micro pan head. That was actually part of a head-to-head I did with the Outdoorsman medium tripod, and they call it their standard tripod now. I put it head to head against the Slick 624. That's another review that's on Rockslide if you want to go look at it. But I ended up picking the Slick 624 just because most of what I do is on my back, and so I like that outdoors tripod, that Outdoorsman tripod. That I went with the Slick because of the weight savings. It was compact. It wasn't as heavy duty as a tripod. I had a few people kind of contact me and say, hey, I it's not going to last as long. And I'm like, hey, I wouldn't argue with that. That Outdoorsman is bomb proof. But for running a tripod in my pack that can go to almost standing height, it's what I ended up going with. And so I'll use the Outdoorsman by the truck, but I'll keep the 624 in my pack. So I went with that. I did choose the Outdoorsman micro pan head for it. That's a good match for it. You can even run a BTX 95 on that. It's not ideal, but it'll work. I did give an honorable mention to Mesa Horse Gear. They made a custom saddle cantle bag. The saddle bags are the two that go right behind where you sit, and then the cantle bag is so if you haven't heard of it, that's just that area right behind where you sit directly on top of the horse. And they made a bag, dual entry bag. You can enter from either side on the bag, and great for putting your coat in. You don't have to tie your coat on. I actually ended up carrying that 624 Slick tripod in there all fall, and it was great just to not have your legs snag it when you're trying to get up on the horse, and keeps it out of the weather and everything. So I gave them the honorable mention. Let's see. That's mine. How about you, Ryan?
I got a quick question on two of your that Mesa horse gear. Is that, I don't know jack about horses or tack or saddle for those. Is that like, do other people make that, or is that just something he came up with custom on his own?
I have not seen a cantle bag like that. You can go to any farm and ranch store and buy saddle bags.
Right.
And they're typically leather. Or their Cordura. But what was great about his is some type of Cordura. I don't know if it's exactly Cordura, but he makes them in blaze orange, and which is huge because it's so hard to get blaze orange on a horse. And you know, you can tie ribbons and everything on them, but you still don't ever feel like you have very much square inches on them. So it's a custom job with the camel bag, to answer your question. I haven't seen those out there before. They may be out there, but you know, he's building them specifically for hunters. He makes them in other colors too, but I went with the blaze orange.
Gotcha. And then on your aluminum versus carbon tripod battle, I totally, everything you said, because I've had both tripods, or I have both tripods, totally concurred with, because lightweight is where it's at when you're in the backcountry. But if you're somebody that's going to beat the heck out of it, like an outfitter, or you're hunting by your truck or car camp, I can see the aluminum tripod being a benefit.
Definitely. And it's even more stable. I did some wind testing with them, and, you know, side by side with a BTX, and, you know, I wasn't in real heavy winds, but you could tell the difference that aluminum and tripod just did better. But, you know, all things being equal, if it's got to go on long hikes with me, you know, a pound is a pound, and that's essentially what it came down to. And I had a lot of people saying, oh, a pound, that's nothing. I'm like, yeah, but if you have a pound heavier tripod, a pound heavier rifle, a pound heavier this, pound heavier that, you know, pretty soon that's a heavy pack. So I'm sticking to my guns. Lightweight's where it's at for me. hey, rumor has it, though, Outdoorsman might be bringing a carbon fiber tripod to market. You didn't hear that from me.
I've heard that rumor. So
it's around, dude. I would love to see them do it.
Me too. You know, it'd be a really well put together product.
Well, because right now that slick, in fact, SNS Archery is the only ones you can get the 624 from. And, you know, it's made overseas. And, you know, we're outdoorsmen, their brand is USA. So if they can figure out how to bring carbon fiber to the USA, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. All right. I'll move on to mine. My first pick was the Swarovski NL Pure 12x42 binoculars. We are both big fans of Swarovski. And they came out with these as their flagship binoculars list last year. And I got to test them out before we gave them to Matt Cashel to do a really good review on. And if you would have told me 3 or 4 years ago that I would switch out those 12x50 ELs that Swaro made, I would have told you you were crazy. But as soon as I got them in hand, I was amazed. I don't know how you take, how you go from 50 to 42 and make it a bigger field of view. And the brightness, the biggest thing that impressed me was the brightness was down to about a minute. So between the 12x50s to 12x42s, it was maybe a minute. You know, I was looking at a lot of deer early in August when I had them, and you could maybe say that the 12x50s were a little bit brighter, but you're also giving up, you know, 6 more ounces and a whole lot bigger binocular to the 12x42 NLs. And they also changed the ergonomics, and I can't really describe it, but basically where your hand goes, they made it how it should feel and how it should look. And it's pretty incredible. Yeah. They, I don't know what else to say. They hit that. They knocked it out of the park. It's better.
Well, I got to use Travis Hobbs when we were hunting this fall on that film Jordan and I did. He had the 10s. So we put the 10s side by side with my 8x42s. The 10s had as big of a field of view as the 8s. Mm-hmm. And get this, they were still a little bit brighter than the 8s.
Really?
So now you can match the field of view with 8s. That's one reason I've always gone with 8s, is because of bigger field of view. And you can actually get more daylight in them. So they're a whole new monster. I mean, I didn't even understand that you could even do that with a pair of binoculars. And then I agree with you on what you said. They're small. They're smaller than my 8x42s. Of course, my 8x42s are the EL range. Right. But even without the rangefinder in there, the NLs were a smaller bino.
Yeah, the ergonomics are incredible. The field of view is obviously on the 8s, 10s, or 12s is incredible. And the glass, I can't say it doesn't have an edge, but it's different than the ELs. Because I do have a little trouble with the 8s and 10s, with the rolling ball effect. And I don't have it with the 12s. I have no idea why, and I don't have any with the NLs. So, obviously, they're not cheap, but if you spend as much time in the field as me and you do, you know, if you're an outfitter or you're, you know, this is your thing, they're worth the money, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, if it got down to, I guess if I had to step down in rifles and go a few grades down and not spend so much on a rifle to make up for the glass, it would be worth it.
Absolutely. My number two is the Sitka Timberline pants. I literally have tried so many other, what I consider like third season kind of, they're not necessarily pure winter pants, but into that late October into November, December pants. You know, I've tried multiple pants from Kuyu, First Light, Cryptic. I even had a pair of Scree pants, and I keep going back to the Timberline pants. To me, they're the best trade-off for warmth and durability. They dry really fast, and I just don't tear them up. And I tear up, I'm not the Axis pants from Kuyu. I had a pair of pants, and I tore them up really fast. They didn't last me a year. And maybe some of that's bad luck. Maybe some of it's not. But these Timberline pants have to be 4 or 5 years old, and they have one little tear down by the cuff on the heel, and that's about it. So I can't.
Yeah, I know how you are on pants, and this is one of those pieces of gear that was from previous years too. I mean, so it's saying a lot if you're still wearing them.
Yeah, I think I got them in either 15 or 16, and they're faded and ugly, but they still work.
And match the wear.
Yeah, Kafaru Cutthroat backpack. This backpack is an internal frame, and I'll put out the caveat that I'm a goat herder now, so this frame might not be for everybody. It obviously, you can't take it apart and put the load, you know, put it into a load shelf. It's, I don't know the specs off the top of my head, but we have a link on the thread. I think it's around 4,200 cubes, and it is the perfect size for me. I took it pretty much every trip I went on this year. It easily packs out a deboned deer. If you look at the picture, the deer and all my meat is in that backpack, and it's internal frame. So one of the biggest, you know, fears is it won't heavy, it won't haul weight well. Well, I had an elk and it was around 102 pounds. That I have a scale in my truck because I get tired of people lying to me about what they're carrying, and it was 102 pounds. And the deer was 87 pounds, I think. So it carries weight with no problem. And obviously, it's quality construction made in the USA from Kefaru. So if you're into an internal frame pack that comes in at about 4 pounds, go check it out.
All right.
Honorable mention, like you, Unknown Munitions. I literally cannot make ammo that shoots the ESs that Jake and Jessica make over there. They make, I shot a 10-shot group with a 300 Terminator, which is a big case, holds 100 grains of powder. And my ES, I believe, was 11. It may have been 12. It's 12 or 11. And that is unheard of in
ammo. A big case like that.
Yeah, yeah, because the bigger the case, the more room for error. So,
yeah,
and they've made tons of ammo for Tanya, and they've made tons of ammo for me to shoot in a competition, and it's all been fantastic.
All right.
First Light Arrow Wolves, again, this, if you go look at this picture of me, nice and skinny, sitting in a chair, that shirt is at least 2 years old, and I have another one that's at least 4 years old, and I don't know what they did. They put it, you know, it's basically merino with a nylon infused material, and it just takes merino to that next level. It dries faster. It still has the merino properties where it doesn't stink. Anyways, this is my favorite shirt. That's one of the shirts I will say, I hate saying best, but to me, Arrow Wool is the best base layer on the market.
Mine is 3 seasons old now, my Arrow Wool, and I got mine in pine. I didn't get it in the camel. Uh-huh. And it's got a little bit of piling where my coat rubs on it by my chest, but not a single tear in it, and going strong.
To make that even make more sense, because a lot of people buy gear and they use it for a week. How many days a year do you think you actually wear that shirt?
Well, dude, I cheat because I wear it for more than just hunting. So, like, you know, if I go out and look for bucks this time of year, I'm wearing it. So 3 seasons, 18, 19, 20 season, probably, you know, because I wear it in the early season too. I bet it gets conservatively 30 days on hunting season. Let's say another 10 outside of hunting season here. So I got 120 days on this one, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's still great. It's still, you know how, when you carry your pack, it'll kind of wear your merino thin on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. You know, after a while you can kind of hold up your merino to the light and you kind of see through it a little bit back there. That's not even happening to it yet. It's very durable. It makes merino, I think that's really what I think the strong point is. It makes merino durable. Mm-hmm. And I can't see that there's been any loss in performance and, you know, funk or warmth in it at all by going to that construction. So I concur.
Yeah, and if you wore a lot of merino, which I have, it has a hard time drying in cool temperatures. So if it's cold, you know, that around 30 degrees, 20 degrees or less, it dries super slow. Well, Arrow Wool, however they did it, it literally cuts the drying time into more like a synthetic. I'm not going to say it's as fast as a pure synthetic, but it's really close. Plus, you get the benefits of the wool. So, anyways.
Huh. Yeah, interesting. I did not notice that. I guess I just didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's definitely a hybrid, I guess they call it. But all right, moving on to Tanya's, since I pretty much know what she likes and don't, I'll go for her. And Hoffman double insulated pack boots. I cannot stress enough how cold-blooded my wife is. When it's 90 degrees out, she thinks it's just about okay. She might still be a little bit chilled. So finding boots for her is a big problem. And those double insulated Hoffmans have really fit the bill. She wears them in October when it's, you know, highs, could be highs of 60, really. No, she uses that as like a safety blanket, and they're not the most comfortable to wear on long hikes, and they're heavy, but she would rather do that than get her feet, let her feet get cold. So that says a lot about how warm those boots are.
Yeah, well, you know me, man. I'm a big time pack boot wearer. I've been for years, and I start wearing mine in October too. And you know, they're not as comfortable to hike in. They don't have the ankle support. But if you're not carrying heavy loads, it's hard to have warmer feet than in a pack boot. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, and long term durability on those, I don't really know. But just looking around and talking to people, there's no problem with them as far as once they break down, getting them whatever you call it. You know more about that than I do.
Rebottomed. You can get new, for people that don't know what a pack boot is. It's got a rubber bottom and a leather upper, and all these high end USA made pack boots, Whites, Hoffman, Schnee's, they all offer a rebuild. And so you know you might be spending a lot of money on a pair of boots, but you add in the rebuilds, which are usually around $100. I get mine rebuilt about every 3 to 5 years. You know, you get a lot of value out of the pack boot.
What temperature you usually drop down? I mean, when do you usually say, all right, it's time for you to wear them?
Dude, as soon if there's any snow in the high country, I take them. And part of it is too, is your ability to get them dry. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. It's not just about the warmth of the pack boot, because you can get an 800,000 gram hiker and get the warmth, but you can't get them dry. And I'm not talking about leaking through the membrane. I'm talking about your sweat. And you start wearing them in freezing and sub-freezing temperatures, any hiking at all, you're going to produce some moisture. And in those temperatures, the membranes don't work all that well. They're better for warmer temperatures. So you get a buildup of moisture day after day, and you can't get them dry unless you just have a boot dryer. But with a pack boot, you can pull it apart. You can take the liner out of a pack boot, and I can set that by the fire. And that rubber bottom, you know, it's got some material in the sole and the bottom. And, you know, that may stay damp, but you're putting a dry liner in every morning. I've worn my liners to bed to dry them out. They're actually like sleeping in a great big pair of slippers. And so to me, that's the other benefit of a pack boot, is being able to break them down and dry them out.
Yeah, there you go.
Her second deal. And we have another review coming from Matt Weimer on these same boots. And he's had his a couple of years, not a ton of use, but he's really happy with them. And we heard from quite a few other Rockslide members that have picked up the Hoffmans and been really happy with them.
Nice. All right, number two is the First Light Sanctuary Bibs and Jacket. Again, like I've already said, she wakes up cold. She last December 2019, she wore them over to that deer hunt in Nebraska with Jordan, and literally it was some days were barely 10 with the wind blowing sideways like you know it can in Nebraska, and they were a lifesaver for her. They're overkill, I would say, for most Western hunting until it gets into late November, December. But for Tanya, I could see her wearing those on an elk hunt in late October.
Yeah, I think that's what we're giving away in our whitetail contest this year. I need to look. It's the Sanctuary. That's their real cold weather whitetail from their whitetail line, right?
Yep, and it's really quiet and it's really warm. And it has some. Tanya was pointing it out to me because I don't whitetail hunt very often, and I'm pretty hot. I'm pretty hot, so I don't wear very many layers or heavy clothing. And she was pointing out all the pockets and how easy it was to get into certain things, and how they made their like pockets on the jacket. And this is something that Tanya would pick up on that I don't. They're like, it's like a muff style pocket where you slip your hands into these little tiny draft pockets. Like, I don't know what else. Yeah, it's like a mitten inside of a pocket to where it's, I don't know, I've never seen them before. I'm sure the whitetail guys are laughing at me, but it's kind of ingenious, because that definitely, if you put a hand warmer in there, it would stay warm for a long time.
Gotcha. Hey, and one correction. It's actually the Solitude line that we're giving away in our whitetail contest. First Light sponsored it. But last year, you had the choice between the Solitude or the Sanctuary.
I believe both are whitetail line, though, right?
You know, I'd have to pull up their site. I see too much gear to remember it all.
Right.
But no worries. I do remember people said it was really warm.
Well,
how about her new coat? That's an older coat, isn't it?
No, that's her Mountain Hardwear. That is like the staple. I'm pretty sure she had the Mountain Hardwear Ghost Whisper on underneath that Sanctuary, because that's how cold-blooded she is. But that jacket is amazingly warm. Remember, I don't remember that day, but she had the deer. If you go look at the picture, she had to sit in the prone for almost 2 hours in a freaking sideways snowstorm to get the shot on that buck.
In the windiest spot on that ranch. I hate that ridge.
Oh, it was miserable. Like it was like she was finally she's going through all the her countdown to where it's like 5 minutes where she has to stand up because her toes and legs were freezing. And I was like, oh, no, it's about to stand up. But that jacket saved her bacon because, like I said, we sat down there thinking that buck was going to get out of his bed soon, and it sat there for 2 hours.
She paced him when he got up. That was pretty awesome.
Yep, it's some. Oh yeah, one shot. I think it was like 350. Put her down. The Mountain Hardware Ghost Whisper. That's the jacket.
Awesome.
Again, okay, all these links. If you go to the actual article, all these links are in there. So all you got to do is click on. We'll take you right to the product or right to the review.
Yeah, and you can read a lot more than what we're saying. Oh, and by the way, we want to give a big shout out to William Hansen. He was our staff member that actually put the entire list together. And that's a pain because you're babysitting 40-year-old men when you're doing it. You're having to email people all the time, try to get their reviews from them, try to get their pictures.
Yep.
So I forgot to mention that in the beginning. This would not have come together if it wasn't for William. Hey, on this next one, Ryan, for Justin, why don't you take it? It's that Sig Kilo 2400 ABS. You've used that.
Yep, the Sig 2400 ABS is probably, in my opinion, the best for long range hunting, or a guy that's going to shoot out to 500 or 600 yards is probably the best rangefinder. You know, price. You know, if you take all the equations in on it, the price, what it does for you, it basically it's a rangefinder that gives you all of your dope and windage, which is one of the, I think, the only rangefinder that I know of that gives you your actual wind calls too. And it uses Applied Ballistics as its ballistic software, which is a well-known and liked ballistic solver in the industry.
I'm just reading from what Justin said. And Justin's our Crossley's assistant editor at Rockslide. So between him and I, we read every single gear review that comes across our desk. And he put in here, he said, I still think the Kilo 2400 ABS is one of the best new products we've seen in the last 10 years. And I've heard that from a lot of guys.
It is. I don't understand why it took a company like Sig, who wasn't even an optics company, you know, 4 years ago, that they brought this to market so fast. And other companies outside of Gunworks, Gunworks had something very similar to this. And I guess theirs has windage too, but it was twice the cost and it's twice as big. For Sig to come out with this product, it's kind of amazing because they came out of nowhere and basically it had all the features that you needed. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and it's just one of those pieces that, you know, keeps making our list year after year. So that's great. Let's see, next one, Javelin Pro Hunt Bipod from Spartan Precision. This was Justin Crossley's picks. With Spartan Precision equipment changed the way we look at bipods. The Javelin Pro is their lightweight hunting option. It's a great option for anyone wanting a solid bipod for backcountry hunting scenarios. So some of this stuff we're going to move through pretty fast because we haven't actually used the gear ourselves. But just, you know, if we do that, it's just, like Ryan said, it's online. You can go on there and read it. He has an entire review on it. And I know Justin has used multiple Spartan products. You know, he's been helping us since they came on and he's pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I would never take a bipod in the woods hunting until this one came out. It's the easiest 6 ounces you just stick in your pocket.
Oh, so you've used this one then too?
Oh yeah, I've used this. It literally is 6 ounces and it can be, I would say, 95% as stable as a, you know, a pound and a half bipod.
Gotcha. And it's removable with their system, right? It's like pretty easy to take on and off.
Yeah, actually, and it's different than most bipods is you don't actually leave it on the rifle. You actually put it in your pocket or, you know, it's easily and you just snap it on with a magnet. And it's a magnet that people always say, well, just fall out. No, you literally have to yank this thing to get it out. So it's a really good special magnet.
I remember Rob was talking about those.
And rare earth magnet, I think they call them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, rare earth. Yeah. All right, next one. And this made our list a cup from a couple of guys, but the Lathrop & Sons Mountain Hunter Boots. This was another one from Justin. It says, if you were having foot problems, check these guys out. They're one-of-a-kind boot fitters. I can confidently say the custom boot system from Lathrop & Sons was an upgrade on all the others I've tried. And Justin's right. You know, we have a lot of boot sponsors. Respect them, like them all. All of them are making great products. But Lathrop & Sons, if you're having foot issues, fitting issues, or if you're just the most hardcore guy in the county and putting a lot of miles on. I can't recommend them enough. And it's going to take you more time. You're not just buying a boot off the shelf. You know, it includes consultations. You're talking with the phone on them, talking with on the phone with them. And when they say custom boot system, they're sending you, I can't remember what they call those, but you stand on them and you measure your feet.
Yeah, foot
and
mold.
They can tell.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a pressure mold.
Pressure mold, yeah. So they send you all that. So, you know, Justin was specifically talking about the Mountain Hunter boots. We've had a few riders that have been pretty happy with those. But when you pair that with the custom boot system, it can solve a lot of foot problems.
Yeah, and if real quick on that, if you have tried all the other boots and you can't get it right, give them a call. They can help you.
Yep. Yep, they'll help you. It's worth your time. It really is. Let's see, William Hansen, the guy that put this article together. He's from Missouri. He kind of covers our eastern angle and does hunt out west some too. But for these staff picks, he picked. I'm stuttering here because I'm trying to make sure I pronounce this right. Tethered.
It's phantom. It's tree. Actually like a play on words. It's tethered.
Tether, there we go. Thanks, Ryan. This is what he says. It's a harness similar to an arborist harness, but lightweight and designed for hunting. I have been using the tethered saddle since they came on the market. The Phantom has almost completely replaced my typical climbing tree stand. I can wear it in and out. It is comfortable enough to hunt all day. So jump on that review if you're a tree stand guy, even if you're a western tree stand guy. It must be pretty small because in the picture, I can't even hardly see it with him up in the tree. He also selected the First Light Solitude bibs and jacket. That's what we're giving away in the whitetail contest this year. Cold weather installation set designed for whitetail hunting. He says the attention to detail First Light put into this is incredible. They're the quietest, most comfortable insulating layer for sitting in a tree stand that I have used. I almost thought he was going to say the best there for a second, Ryan. I was getting nervous. But no, he's a big believer in him, and I know he sits a lot of hours in trees. Let's see. And then he also picked another tethered product. It's called the Tethered One Climbing Stick. Climbing stick to get up and down a tree to hunting height in a saddle or tree stand that weighs less than a pound. I was able to get a hold of these for early testing, and they're absolutely fantastic. They are light and strong and nest together silently for a quiet pack-in. They are so easy to set up, I could easily do it blindfolded with very little practice. Solid upgrade to anyone's climbing method.
Nice.
Honorable mention. Like I said, he hunts out west too. He picked up some Kenetrex, the Mountain Extremes, a couple of years ago, and come out here and he did a bear hunt, and then he's using them back there quite a bit. I think he's coming back out this year, still using them. I think he got those in 2017, so 17, 18, 19. He's got at least three seasons on them, maybe four. These boots are still going strong after several seasons for me and remain my go-to boot of choice.
Dude looks like a mountain man.
He does, dude. Grizzly Adams, for those of you old enough to remember that. That's what William looks like. Although he can be both, dude. Have you seen him on our YouTube videos? He's about as clean cut as you can get. I didn't even recognize him when he was doing those stoves.
Heckle and Jekyll.
Take Ross Russell's, dude. You know him well.
Oh, Ross. If Ross says something works, you can believe the man that works. I know a lot of guys. I don't know very many guys that go as hard as Ross. Even at like 75 years old, he's going to kill me for saying that.
He's not 75.
I think he's like 55, but the dude is just tough as nails. He has his number one is a Tika 7 Mag. He says some, you know, sub MOA accuracy. It's his 18th season with my only hunting
18
rifle.
18 years he's had the same gun.
And let me tell you, I've been on the other side of the mountain when he opened up on some elk. And one day I heard him shoot 14 times, and I swear to God, it was a semi-automatic. So I know he can sling the lead with that thing, but he is an elk and deer, more so elk slaying machine. I mean, I think I've been to his house, and he has something like 30-ish plus 6 points. We did a podcast with him a while back, and he is a slayer of elk, and he is a hardcore outdoorsman. So like I said, if he says it, listen to it. But his number one pick was that Tika 7 Mag, and it's one of the most popular rifles on Rockslide.
It really is still. And the thing about his stuff is it gets used beyond even what we consider hard use, because you know, he's an antler, he's a shed hunter. I mean, he uses this stuff, maybe not the rifle year round, but going into this next set here of his clothing, the guy puts so many days on his stuff.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's putting on big miles in nasty North Idaho. So you know that that clothing has been beat on the brush. It's been through snow. It's been through rocks. It's been through four-wheeler rides. It's just been beat to hell. So if he, like I said, if he says it works, it works. Number two is the Kuyu Super Down Pro. I've actually had this jacket, and it's really warm. That's all I can really say about it, because I didn't have it very long because I tore the shit out of it.
He says a down jacket, the pack small, is warm and very light. How do they do with moisture?
They have that. I don't know what their down. I don't think it's down tech, but they have a hydrophobic down that seems to work really well. I would say
it's the same down that's in their bags. Then
same down in their bags, pretty much all
same
their
one
down.
I tested. Yeah, yep. It's a good stuff.
Yep, and like I said, do not take it through alders. It was my fault. I was dumb. So it will not take an alder. You know, laden hillside, but anything Kuyu makes is top notch. They're, you know, if you look at their quality control, it's top shelf.
It is.
Number three is Smart Wool Heavy Hiker Socks. So he says, who does not like new socks? Smart Wool Heavy Wool Socks do the job for me. I have no experience with socks, but I believe what he says.
I do. I've got four to six seasons, and I don't put as many miles on as Ross does, but I'm amazed at how durable Smart Wool socks are. And these are just ones I bought at, you know, probably Sportsman's Warehouse. I'm very, very happy with that brand.
Compare them to like First Light? I mean, what do they compare to?
Dude, I haven't owned any First Light socks for 4 years, so I can't really compare them. But they're the best wearing wool socks I've ever had, as far as longevity, how long I've worn them.
Nice.
I can't count how many days are on these. And I have one pair that I had to sew a hole up in the toe because I didn't cut my toenails before I went hunting, and wore a hole through that. I sewed them up. I think I sewed them up in 2019. I put another two seasons on them, and like I said, some of my pairs I may have had six seasons on.
Oh lordy!
Why are you envisioning my long toenail sticking out my boots?
Santa Claus out there with 40 holes in his socks.
Exactly, dude. It was just one. It was just a big toe.
That's awesome.
I'll take care of Glendon here. He's one of our Eastern riders too. Glendon is from Virginia or West Virginia. Oh, forgive me, Glendon. One of the two. Good guy. Does a lot of Eastern hunting, whitetails, hunts hogs in the South. And we kind of turned him on to binoculars when he came on as a mod. You know, that was a whole new world for him, as it is for a lot of those Eastern guys. And we sent him a pair of the Vortex Viper HDs. That's a good binocular for its price point. Probably performs a little better than its price point, in fact. I tested them too before I sent them out to him, and he says, I can't say enough about these. Absolutely vital gear on both Western hunts I have done. I've actually come to the point I feel naked while hunting them as I carry them on all my Eastern hunts now as well. So it was a real game changer for him. That's the binoculars. Let's see. He's also running the Kodiak Canvas 10x4 Flexbow tent. Have you seen these tents, Ryan?
Yeah, actually, I think it was Brock Akers had one. I checked it out a few years ago.
Yeah, you know, I saw a few in the field. I always thought, oh, that's just like a Sears Roebuck, you know, family tent. But then the guy I went hunting with last year, he had one. No, they're bulletproof. They're totally built for hunters, and that's what Glendon's been using. He paired with a Big Buddy heater, kept me warm and toasty in an Eastern Montana mule deer hunt. Temps to -9 with wind chill on top of that. Awesome tent for truck camping. If you don't want a full size canvas tent, deal sets up quick and withstands great winds as well.
And I believe you can put a tent stove jack and have a stove in those.
Oh, really? I did not know that. The guy that I went with last year was running a Buddy heater as well. Floored tent, you know, I mean, great for bugs, you know, all that stuff.
Nice.
Let's see. He's also got a thermocell in here. Dude, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't really know what a thermocell was until Glenda did this. I mean, I'd heard of them. I think I knew what they were, but, you know, you might have even convinced me it was something to keep your coffee warm. But he put hunting near mosquitoes become much more manageable with this bug repellent dispenser. Simply put, I wouldn't be able to do it. to do wild boar hunts in southern Georgia right on a major river without one of these. They keep mosquitoes at bay. If I didn't have a thermocell to use there, I would not go, no matter how many hogs I could kill.
Yes. If you've ever hunted North Idaho bear baiting bears, thermocell change your bear hunting experience.
So you've used them.
Oh, yeah. They are nice. Yeah,
didn't even know that. Dude, I'm so freaking tough. Mosquitoes don't even bug me, man. I just brush them off. That ain't a big deal, man.
Oh, Lordy.
Actually, we don't have a lot of bugs down here, so we don't really. I mean, maybe 2 weeks in June, it's pretty bad. I'll let you take Howard Mee. You know some of this gear.
Howard Mee hails from the beautiful state of Montana. Kefaru Fulcrum is his first choice. I have actually ran the Kefaru Fulcrum. He says it doesn't make the weight lighter, but you can carry the weight without damage to your body, which is true unless you overload it like I have or my buddy Jim Carr has, and then it definitely can hurt your body. It's a really big pack. It's
like a 7,000.
Yeah, it's got to be close to that. It's Batwing pack, which I really like. If you've ever carried many elk heads or deer heads or just awkward loads, the Batwing is definitely the way to go. And it's, like I said, USA made. The one thing I would say about any backpack is try one on, because Kefarus fit me fantastic. They may not fit you. Obviously, they fit Howard well, but Kefaru has a lot of adjustment. They have a really big, but the actual pad that goes against your back, it's a little big for some people, but if it fits you, you will never need another pack again.
Awesome. And I just pulled the specs on it. It's 7,800.
It's a monster. That's without the lid.
I think there's a type. I think there's a typo. That's CC, not CI, right? Cubic inches. Well, that would not be right.
It's got to be.
Is it CC or CI?
I think CC.
He's got CI in here. I don't know. I'm not a backpacker.
I'm pretty sure.
But 7,800, I know compared to all the other bags, it's big.
I'm pretty sure it's 7,000 cubic inches. It's a big bag. Like, you could do 10 to 14 days in that bag.
Yeah, it's called one of their expedition packs.
Yeah, it replaced my favorite pack, which got some kind of quasi anti-fulcrum, just because it replaced the EMR2, which was my favorite pack. But, I'm still a little butthurt over it.
I did check. It is CI. That is correct.
Yeah, it's like I said.
I thought that was CC.
If you're going hunting for 5 or 6 days backpacking, you can still put all the elk meat you can carry in the rack and still bring it all out together.
Well, he packed out a buck and a bull with it this year, so.
Yeah, go check out his review on it. It's a dang good review.
Howard's a good writer. He does a good job. His reviews are kind of fun to read, too.
Yeah, actually, they are very entertaining. Number two is the Alpaca Raft. He says opens up options and access where there were no options. I don't know anything about pack rafts, but I know the people that use them, like Howard or Ryan Lampers, they freaking love them.
Yep, it's a whole new little subset of hunters out there that, and there's always been, people that have access via rivers and everything, but you had to be a, pretty skilled canoeist or kayaker. The way I understand these rafts is you don't have to have all that skill to be able to access these rivers.
What's interesting to me is I see a lot of people using them now. They're not even really floating. They're just using it to cross the river, and they're just leaving it there and coming back to it, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah, that's what Lampers and Gritty were doing last year on their film. They were just using it to get across the river. But, man, it opened up miles of country for them.
All right, number three, he has Merino wool base layers. He did a review, Mountain Ops versus Black Ovis Merino shootout. He says, I wear some Merino all season. Weights and layers change, but the Merino never leaves. So he's a big fan of those Merino shirts.
Yeah, and what was cool with some of those other brands that he did, the Black Ovis and the Mountain Ops, it can save you some money. You can soak a lot of money into Merino, but take a look at that review if you want to get into the Merino and not spend top dollar.
Not yet. It's another great review that he did.
Gotcha. Okay, Travis Bertrand, I'll take his. He did the Arrowhead Rifles 45 caliber muzzleloader. So I did their barrel on my Encore, but they also make their own proprietary rifle. And it's 45 caliber, so you elk guys, I know you can't shoot 45 for elk. But if you're a deer hunter, this gun is legal in just about every state except for Idaho and possibly Washington, Oregon. They keep switching back and forth on what's legal there. So it's not a Northwest legal muzzleloader. But and by the way, you could use it in Idaho on one of our any weapon hunts. But if it's legal in your state, they're awesome. I edited that review for Travis and before Justin published it. And TAC driver, just like mine, 45 caliber, Y-45, because they shoot flat. And you can check out the review. They also have their own proprietary bullet system that matches the gun. That's partly how they get it to shoot so well. So really worth looking into if you're looking for a high-performance muzzleloader. His tripod was number two. He chose the Field Optics Research Pro-Max 622 9C tripod. I have never heard of one until we did this review, but he said heavier than most tripods but lighter than my previous tripod when you add the weight of the trekking poles, very stable and well made. Justin published that review for me, so I believe you can use trekking poles with it, but don't quote me on that. But it did make Travis's top list, so that's worth checking out if you're a tripod person. Inflection DE custom ammo case. This is another non-sponsor that we reviewed here. And quit worrying about your ammo being damaged and your hunt ruined. This case treats your ammo as the precious resource that it is. It's nice not to worry about your ammo after you drive 50 miles down a dirt road, then another 20 up some Jeep trail. I don't really know how it works, but I'm looking at it. Oh, do you?
Yeah. Go ahead. And the thing I like about them is it's true. If you haul around ammo like in a gun case or a traditional case and you don't have foam on the top and baby it, you get all those marks and scratches. And will it affect your I don't know. I don't think so, but it sure makes your ammo look ugly. And this takes all the worry about your ammo getting messed up at all.
I can't stand putting a damaged tip into a gun, even if it's just a little nick in it. You said, it doesn't even matter, but it drives me crazy.
Me too. And this is like these cases are like ammo blankets, man. They're like ammo, like bubble wrap. You cannot mess up your ammo when you send these boxes.
Cool. Hey, do his honorable mention on the XLR. I know you've got more familiarity with these chassis than I do.
Yeah, if you'd have told me I'd hunt with a chassis a couple years ago, I told you you're crazy. But XLR came out with their magnesium 3.0 chassis. It's called the Element chassis, and it's all up with magazine in mind. It's 30 ounces, which is crazy. It is magnesium. People worry about hauling around getting cold. I have never seen that. I use a gun bearer from Kefaru a lot and gloves. But what it's done is it's a tool that, to me, I can hook anything I want onto it. I don't have to worry about scratching up the carbon or the wrap or the Cerakote. It's just dang near indestructible. So it gives you a lightweight option without having to use carbon, and carbon can break. I've had quite a few stocks break on me, and I don't have to worry about that problem with the magnesium chassis. So go check it out.
And tell the other benefit of a chassis, because there's a whole bunch of us out here that don't understand why some backpack hunters prefer a chassis to the folding stock. Oh,
yeah, the folding stock, which the funny thing is I don't use the folding stock because I use the gun bearer, so I always forget about that option. But, yeah, it comes with a folding stock, so your gun goes from, let's say, 52-ish inches down to, 40-ish inches. So it's easy to put into a backpack or into a truck or on a horse or whatever you're doing, dirt bike. But I always do forget about that because I don't use that option.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that was one of the benefits of it until we started doing the reviews on them. But apparently the hardcore backpackers are gravitating to that because it makes them just.
Yeah, and it also comes. They cut it in Tika, which a lot of companies don't have Tika stock, so you can get it in Tika, and I believe Remington, and I believe Savage. So they got quite a few options at 30 ounces. It's freaking light.
Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, you've used the Seek Out Said Silex, right?
No, I have the Cimarron.
You use that material? You have the Cimarron, but is the Silex, is it the same material that you're using? Is it that ultralight material?
Yeah, it's a Cuban fiber, or it's Dyneema, and I've loved it. I don't have the Silex, but the thing I do like about it is I got a two-man tent with a stove all up under 2 pounds, which is crazy. And I think the Silex is even lighter and smaller.
Gotcha. Well, I might be speaking out of turn here. I might have had my names mixed up. But the next one was Josh Boyd. And Justin put this review up, so I did not get to proof this one because Josh's stuff is always so good when it comes in. And I thought the Silex was the name of the material, but it's not. It's the name of the tent. So
right.
he chose the Silex, Seek Outside Silex with the Cub U-turn stove. Heating a shelter is a game changer, and when they are this lightweight, it's an easy choice. I use the shelter more than anything else in my quiver of shelters, and I can tell you he has a lot of shelters, and it's awesome for the solo hunter. And he paired that with the U-turn stove. I saw those at Exo last year, and they are they don't have four corners. One, two, three, four. Yeah, they don't have four corners like a typical stove. They've got a rounded back, and I don't want to get out of my lane here, but it saves in weight, and I think it makes it for a more packable stove. But if you are a hardcore backpacker and you're hunting after September 15th, go check out that review from Josh. Have you worn the Kelvin Light down jacket, Ryan?
Nope.
Okay, I'll do this one then. That was his number two pick. It's a high-end insulation layer to keep you warm when getting cold. Could cost you your life. Extremely packable, lightweight, and punches way above its weight class. This was in my pack on almost every trip September through November. He also chose the... Okay, here's one of those names I don't know. Hula.
They're kind of
probably easier than this. Katahula. There we go. Micro spikes. Have you ever wished you had a little more traction on your boots? These might be the solution for you. Slips over most any boot and bites into any slippery surface. These were the unsung heroes of the season. I strapped these on for the opening days of Montana rifle and elk season and wore them at least another 20 days after that. Anytime there was a need for extra grip in the snow, I pulled them on without hesitation. I'm seeing more of these in the woods now. I think they're really getting popular. I don't know about up there, but you know, some of this nasty steep stuff in Western Wyoming, I've seen guys wearing them. You can go ahead and do Tony Treach.
I'll just say I've used the Catahoulas and the Cypress Hill, and when you're coming down nasty, you know, icy, snowy, deadfall grass, you know, bare grass, they're a lifesaver. Cool. Latrip's, again, he's going back to his number one is the Latrip Sons Mountain Hunter boots. Again, these are boots. They have a vent fabric. They have a one-of-a-kind kind of fitting system. If you go to their gold package to where they actually custom make the fit for your foot. And like I said, if you've tried it all or you want to get to the front of the line and not have to buy five or six pair of boots, go check out their boot system. Number two is the Kefaru Light Frame and 44 Mag. I've never used the 44 Mag. I have used the Kefaru Light Frame. I don't know a lot about the 44 Mag. I know it's a kind of a more unconventional backpack that Kefaru usually makes. It has like a flip down, like that basically has a U zipper, so you can flip down the lid and you can kind of fold it out so you can organize your stuff and get to it quickly. I know it has side bags, but that's really about all I know about it. Kefaru has a ton of videos on their stuff, so if you do have any questions, go look at the review and then go look at the product if you're interested. Snowy Mountain Alpine Hunting Rifle. And I believe this is in this rifle's in a 28 Nosler. I talked to him about it a few times. He says, with several seasons and multiple hunts on mine, I would recommend them to anyone looking for a top quality custom rifle. And I've never, ever heard a bad thing about Snowy Mountain rifles. And I talk rifles almost every day to somebody.
Yeah, Paul and those guys, they're doing a good job over there. They're up in Hamilton, right?
I believe so. They're somewhere right there.
Yeah, they're right there. And I just pulled up Tony's review to see if the caliber. This was one of those carryovers from last year. So yeah. He shot that for 2 years. Yeah, and it is a 28 Nosler.
Yeah, it's and for him, he'll tell you he's kind of a bow guy first, but he's really getting into this long range stuff, and that thing's been an absolute hammer for him.
Yeah, and you know a little about Tony for those of you that might not know him. He probably puts in more days than anybody on our staff. I know Jared Bloomgren does a lot, but Tony lives in Michigan, and he'll come out west, and you know he'll stay for 5 weeks sometimes. So his stuff gets used a lot, and so I always like to see what he's using. You want to do Jordan stuff too? You familiar with that Kefaru Striker?
I get what I like and stay with it, but the Kefaru Striker, I believe when I was talking to Frank the other day, is their most popular pack, and they just came out with a, don't quote me on this, but the Kefaru Striker 2. So they have updated the version, but I hear that this pack is the most, their most popular pack. It's kind of a do-it-all pack. It's like for whitetail, you can pack, like, if you look at a picture and read a review, she brought her whole blind out with a turkey on it. So it's not a humongous pack. I believe it's only like 3,000 cubes, but it gives you a lot of options, kind of utilitarian pack. She says, for day hunts and short trips, the Striker's load sling is quick to use and great for hauling awkward loads like tree stands, blinds, chairs, etc. She's a heck of a hunter, and she's also owns an outfitting business, so she does all kinds of oddball gear hauling around. So check out that review, the Kefaru Striker.
You've ever heard anybody talk about somebody going down the trail and they look like a garage sale? This yes. picture is that, the epitome of that. You need to go see it.
Picture looks like a train wreck waiting to happen.
I just think there's picture a blind, turkey. A turkey, yeah. A chair, a coat. It's pretty bad.
Looks like there's a blanket down on the bottom.
yeah, there is. Yep.
oh gosh. That's awesome. Number two, I have this actually. She got this from me because I had it on one of my hunts and she loved it. The Bora Bivy. Bora Bivy, I don't know if you guys know Bora, they come out with quite a few good, like a lightweight, like I can't say through hiker stuff, but they hit a home run in their bivy because it's I would say the one that me and Jordan have is a side zip bivy, and it's. The problem I have with bivvies is I'm not claustrophobic, but if I want to get out of something, I want to get out of something right now. And the side zip gives you a lot of options, and it has a net on your face so you don't feel so closed in. The material on the bottom is a little more heavy duty than the material on the top. And I think my whole bivvy weighs like 6.5 ounces. And I think I've had it since 2014, and it hasn't failed me yet. And it doesn't look like hers has either, so go check it out.
Yeah, she says
the Bora Bivy at 6 ounces acts like a ground sheet for your pad in floor of the shelters and keeps your bag, pad, pillow, and any sleep items you have all together clean and dry. And I totally concur. It's a great product. Very people don't ever talk about him much, but he makes some great products.
Yeah, I was not even aware of him until I read that review.
Number three, the First Light Catalyst jacket. I've had this jacket. I don't know a lot to say about it. She says the quietest soft shell jacket I've ever used, quiet for early season bow hunting, and a good mid layer for late season. First Light's really putting out some good stuff. Go check out that jacket.
I have the pant.
Do you?
And it's tougher than the Obsidians by like 10 times. And it's a good mid-season. And I even wore it into late November this year. Just went with a little heavier base layer. And I only tore one hole in them all fall, which is pretty good because you know how that brush is down here. So I like the Catalyst, the I want to say fiber Catalyst material. You know, they make it in the pant, the jacket. They even have some Catalyst gloves, which by the way, I've got three seasons on my Catalyst gloves, and they're holding up really well too.
How does it do in my qualification for any of those soft shells is how does it do in the wind?
It's not like a nylon. It's not a wind stopper, but it's better than wool. Put it that way. Probably gotcha. Somewhere right in there.
What would you say? Like not is, have you ever had like a Jetstream or any of the wind stopper from Sitka?
I haven't, but I had a pair of Cabela's. It was from their whitetail line and they had a wind stopper. I think it was Gore-Tex. These were not as good as that. I mean, it does not stop wind like a membrane.
Gotcha.
It's still just a threaded material is the way I would describe it.
People like
it. But it's better than wool. Yeah, it's very comfortable. It's got the micro fleece on the inside. It's a very comfortable pant.
Nice.
All right, Jared. Let's see, Vortex HD 4000 rangefinder. You know, Jared Bloomgren, for those of you that don't know him, you know, he probably tags more animals than any of our riders, wouldn't you say, Ryan?
Yeah, he's the only guy that I know that shot a 400-inch bull.
Yeah, that's right. He shot a 400-inch bull. He shoots multiple whitetail mule deer each year. He lives in South Dakota. He's got a lot of hunting, you know, kind of close to him, but he does some out-of-state hunts too. But the dude is hunting just about every day, it seems like. Probably not every day, but, you know, he puts a lot of time out there, and he's just an excellent hunter. He's an excellent bow hunter. You know, rarely does he to tag. And he does a lot of reviews for us. He's a hardworking guy, military guy. Just glad to have him on staff. You know, when Jared tells me he's going to do a review, I know it's going to get done. It's going to come in on time, and just appreciate him.
Well, I will say he's an officer, so we won't say he works really hard.
Oh, okay, that's good to know. I don't have much of a military background, so I don't know how that all works. But I hear you. I hear you telling Bush from Cryptic that same thing. So, Jared, like I said, probably does more reviews than just about any of our riders. And the cool thing about Jared is, you know, he'll use any gear. You know, he doesn't have to be. He doesn't get snobby about anything. He, you know, he's he's big Vortex guy. Jared could get glass from anybody out there, but he uses a lot of Vortex, and so he chose the Vortex Razor HD 4000 rangefinder. This is what he has to say about it. Rangefinders have become indispensable for serious hunters, and Vortex has delivered an option that can compete at levels that only elite hunters can really appreciate. For someone looking for a compact rangefinder that can do it all, this would be a perfect fit for them. Hey, I edited that just a few weeks ago, and I don't want to bore everybody to death with it if I can't find it really quick. I thought he was getting ranges. I don't want to say four. I want to be careful I don't say 4,000 here because it's a 4,000 rangefinder. But I thought he said that, and yeah, he did right here. The HD 4000 can range reflective objects out to 4,000 with extreme accuracy, and I quickly was able to pick out a few targets close to that distance and get a reading. This is a huge improvement over the Ranger line, much faster readouts, and it's pretty much instant with the push of a button. So he was really impressed with that. But man, 4,000 yards. I'm still like thinking back in the Bushnell days when they came out and you could do 400 yards and you thought you were king of the world. Of course, you were still wearing diapers then, right? Well, of course, you're still wearing diapers now, so I don't know what I mean by that.
Pull-ups, thank you very much.
Let's see. He did the Creative Outdoors Bow Sling. This is a new company, Creative Outdoors, and they're out of, forgive me, his name is Josh Susick.
Montana, I believe.
Montana, I think so. But they're Bow Sling. For those of you that haven't used a bow sling, a lot of people, when they first see you using one, they're like, well, man, that seems so cumbersome. Why would you use it? But boy, once you go to one, it's pretty hard to go back to just packing your bow in your hand, especially if you're doing, you know, big hikes. So Jared, you need to read the review. I won't even try to explain how it works. You know, he goes through it, but he put, I have found that it can be used on any style of hunt, whether it be an open land, spot and stalk, to backcountry style of hunting. And I use them because I use horses, and I haven't got to try the Creative. I've just done the, you know, the cheaper ones that I found around. And it's just having your bow or your back and your hands free. It's almost like probably when you first started using that Kafaru gun bearer and you're not having to mess with your gun, you know, the freedom that that brings.
Yeah. And there is learning curves with those.
Yeah, there's learning curves with these too, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, there is. I mean, well, that's what I mean. It's not something you probably can just throw on and you're going to love it. I've learned to love the gun bearer over time, and I'm sure this is the same.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, and you know what? I did put it on here. It wasn't one of my picks, but that Stone Glacier, theirs is called, I want to say Gun Bearer, but it's not, Rifle Sling. It's something simple like that. And you're right. It took a little getting used to, but now that I've used it, I would never go back to using a sling if I've got a backpack on. So, you know, that kind of a deal.
They're crazy how much you get used to those. And the biggest thing is you can glass when you want to. You don't have to put the gun down or hold it against your leg or something, you know, have somebody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's nice.
Right, right. And dude, you can answer the call of nature too. I did it. Okay, Jared, also number three, Vortex HD LHT rifle scope. I've been using these two since they came out in 2016. They keep upgrading them, adding more to the line. This was the, I'll just read what he says, the 2020 Vortex Razor HD LHT. LHT, I believe, stands for Light Hunter. Comes in two configurations of either 42 or 50 millimeter with a 3 to 15 power adjustment. You also have the option to choose between MOA and MRAD. With the vastity of options for rifle scopes that are out there, I wouldn't hesitate to put this lightweight scope on a rifle. It is easy to use, incorporates their HD glass, and gives you nearly all the options you would need in a scope, and then some without all the weight. And I'm using their LHT in the 2.5 to 10. I think they discontinued it. And I just don't believe in 30-ounce scopes. And I think Vortex is, I think they found a niche in the market, or maybe even they've just blown the market open, because, you know, everything on Rockslide is supposed to be light. That's what gravitates guys to. But, you know, a lot of these scopes that have been out there, you know, pre 5 years ago, I don't know, Ryan, you know, scope weights better than me. I mean, how much are we saving now with these lighter weight scopes?
I would say like the average, like tactical scope's 35-ish ounces. So this one comes in at 20. So you're saving 15 ounces. You know, there's some other mid-range. Yeah. Like there's X5 Swaro, and they're coming in at like 28, and Maven's coming in at like 25, 26. So they're definitely tending lighter. The problem that you have when you go lighter is durability. And it'll still be interesting to see the long-term durability test on these LHTs. It stands for Light Hunter Tactical.
Light Hunter Tactical. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So well, I can tell you on mine is, I actually got it in 17. So 17, 18, 19, 20. I've got four seasons on it, probably 80 days. And, you know, I'm not Jim Carr, but, you know, I'm not nice to my stuff either. And that's an inside joke for those of you that don't know Jim Carr. He's the only guy I know on the planet that can show you what the inside of a pair of Swarovski binoculars look like, because he's the only one that's actually broken his in half. But that's another story.
Yeah.
But I've had good luck with mine, Ryan, with my Vortex. I haven't had any problems with it whatsoever.
The trouble comes with any scope is when you start twisting dials.
Fair enough. Yeah. Mine's just a hash mark scope.
But like I said, I have one, and I have beat the crap out of it, and I can say I had one problem, but I thought it may have been scope ring issue, and like literally, I drop it on its side on each side from 12 inches, and so far, it has been tracking.
Good to hear. And I know that a year ago, you would not have believed that would have happened.
No, I have. I'm not. I've told the Vortexes I've had issues with twist and Vortex scopes in the past. Another thing I want to say about Vortex, though, on their Vortex, the HD 4000 and the LHT, is they are one of the fastest companies to listen to people. And that's one thing I do like about Vortex, is they take in information and they produce a product rather quickly.
Good to hear. Let's see. I'll do this next one because I've got the same system. Matt Cashel picked the Cryptic Bora jacket and pant. I actually don't have the Bora. I've got the Tora, which is their lighter weight early season stuff, but it's all from their Altitude line. And that is the, I always want to make sure I'm saying it right, Scholler fabric, I think is how you say it. And it's tough stuff. And this with what Matt said, finally a soft shell system that lasts longer than one season. So we both got ours last year. And so I've worn mine for two seasons. He's done the same. And I haven't torn a piece up. Everything's pretty much like it was when it came out of the box, although it's a lot quieter. That's probably the only thing with the Scholler line. It's a little bit loud when you first start using it. You need to wash it a couple times so it quiets down in a hurry. But it's tough stuff. And they did a new pricing structure on their Altitude line. I think it came down about 30 or 40% in the last year or two. So it's within striking distance of just a, you know, most hunters, most serious hunters anyways. And I can highly recommend it. So Matt's got that review on there. Do you have this storage system that he picked on here too, Ryan?
Nope. I do not.
Okay. Okay. I thought I saw that in your truck. It must have been somebody else's. But he picked this. It's called the deck storage system. And mm-hmm. it's the storage system that goes in the bed of your truck. And it's like those great big long, you know, 4 or 5 foot long drawers. And basically, it just raises up the level of the bed of your truck. So you still got the bed of your truck, you know, most of it. But then you've got a place to store all your gear. You can lock it. This is what he says. Using the accessory D-boxes and cross-boxes, man, I could keep the essentials like tire change tools, high lift jack in one drawer. I select boxes for the other drawer on an as-needed basis. So deck system, good way to organize your truck. He also chose the Seek Outside Peregrine backpack. That's something else I know he's been using for a couple of years. In fact, mm-hmm. I need to click on here. Yeah, 2018. So he had that 18. He's had that for 3 seasons. And that made his list with all the packs in my hunting gear room. This is the one I grab most often for use. I really do not remember a lot about the pack. I edited the review here a couple of years ago, but I know it's one of their leading packs. A lot of guys are pretty happy with it. You want to do Sam?
Sure. Number one for Sam Weaver is Scree Clothing. He says several Scree Clothing items stood out to me. Parmigan puffy jacket?
This is why
jacket?
I wanted you to do it, dude. Yep.
The Parmigan puffy jacket is a staple in my pack no matter the season. The Kodiak pants are great wind blockers, and the hip vents increase their versatility. The Bridger glassing mitts make cold glassing sessions tolerable and will work on the cold ATV rides, too. I've had, I don't know why, the Parmigan or the Parmigan or how do you say
I think
that?
It's ptarmigan. I don't even think you say the P. I think it's just ptarmigan. It's like that little white bird.
I see why you made me do it. Make me look like
I know.
See? I've had that jacket and I still don't know the name, but that jacket for the price is a fantastic jacket.
Most of the Scree stuff is. I had their summer warm weather clothing, and you know Sam's a blue collar guy. That's why he gravitates towards this stuff. But I had that. I wore it all summer. You know, it was good. I think I had a few tears I think I had the Uinta pant. But you know, for what you're paying for and what you're getting, there's a lot of value in Scree.
Oh, absolutely. I anytime that a company goes out of their way to put those hip vents in there, you know, it's. They're thinking ahead because Kuyu's done it forever, and I know First Light's coming out this year, but Scree came out of the box, I think, doing it, which is impressive.
They're another company that really tries to listen to people, and you know they'll change their gear a lot. In fact, they're just getting ready to come out with a new pattern, some new gear coming up. You know they're real responsive. You know, I'll do the next one just because I know a little bit about it. The CVA Paramount Pro Muzzleloader, that was something else Sam put on his list. Mm-hmm. It's also a .45 caliber muzzleloader, and you know compared to the custom jobs that are out there, you're paying half to a third for a gun that, you know, out of the box, at least 2 MOA for a muzzleloader. And I believe Sam was MOA. I need to pull his review again. But it's a .45 caliber muzzleloader. It's paired with a Cowerbelt bullet built for the gun. I think the bullet can be used in other guns, but it matches well with the gun. And Sam got great accuracy out of it, you know, within just a trip or two to the range. I know he's taking it right now on a sheep hunt, and he'll have a full review out on it. Right now, it's just a kind of a feedback thread. And the other thing I learned about that is just how many people have CVA rifles, muzzleloaders out there when he started that thread. Man, he got a lot of people posting on that. And high-end muzzleloader for any of these pretty liberal muzzleloader rule states, you know, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, you know, if they allow you to put a scope on it, these are easily 500-yard guns. Gosh, Ryan, that's the end of the list, that's, buddy. Hey, can you believe
it? It is. We went through that quicker than I thought we would. I got a question on those muzzleloaders.
Yeah.
The one that you have, so the CVA, do they make an Idaho legal one?
They do. And so my son tested the CVA Wolf. That's a break open muzzleloader, mm-hmm. Similar to a Thompson Center, but it's Idaho legal because even when the action is closed, it's still exposed to the weather. And he's got little holes drilled around the breech plug, and that was a good shooting gun. I mean, it's I wouldn't say it's an MOA gun by any means, but for an out of the box muzzleloader, I got some MOA groups out of it, but I also got some 3 MOA groups out of it. But the breech plug is revolutionary. Finger installation and removal, even after like 20 shots. Well, I probably didn't shoot 20, but probably 15 shots, I was still able to screw it out with my fingers. And man, that is so handy when you're in camp and just be able to pull your breech plug every night, you know, check, make sure your flash hole is clear, and just for cleaning, just makes it so much easier. So we were pretty happy with that gun. That was the Wolf.
And the one that you have is Idaho legal too.
That one is Idaho legal. Sam's would not be Idaho legal, and okay. I think it's because it's got a closed breech and 209, no Idaho. Basically, Idaho wants us to bang two rocks together to get a muzzleloader to go off. That's what keeps them happy. But hey, it keeps our draws good, so I don't want to knock them too bad. But yeah, my sons, I guess it was, yeah, totally on Idaho legal. We hunted with it on an Idaho hunt this year, and it's a nice, it's a little 6-pound gun. It's pretty short. I can't remember its overall length, you know, low 40s. I mean, it's like hunting with a pellet gun. It's really nice for packing.
And how far can you shoot with it?
Consequently, it kicks kind of hard.
I bet.
Especially with a 350 grain power belt.
Interesting. And how far can you shoot that, like at a deer or an elk?
I think it's a 150 yard gun because my MOAs were getting pretty big after 150 yards. And, for the load I was shooting, which was, I got 120 grains of 777 in it. And I even tried like 80 and 90, you know, sometimes if they're not super accurate, you can back them off. It didn't even make a difference. So I just went ahead and let it. Gave it as much powder as it could burn. And I got some MOA groups. I really did. But then its standard deviation was high, so it would throw an MOA group, and then the very next group might be 3 MOA. You know, so just fine for killing deer. And so, I told my son, you need to have him at 100, 125. I would have shot at a deer that 150 to 200 if it was all perfect, broadside, dead rest. You know, the gun could do it. But for the price, I can't even remember what it is. It's like a $400 gun. I mean, you know, to just buy it and go hunting, you almost couldn't beat it. And when I started that thread on it, I just couldn't believe how many guys have CVAs and how many guys are happy with that model that I had, which is the Wolf.
Gotcha. Huh. Well, I guess that's all it in a nutshell. The one thing I like about the list is it was pretty eclectic, I guess is the word. It was lots of, you know, the same kind of Western hunters with lots of different options.
Yeah, when we put it together, when William was working on it, and I kept seeing what everybody was pitching in, and I thought this is going to be pretty cool. There's something there for everybody, and we're pretty proud of it. So thanks for helping me get it out there. And thanks, Jordan, for letting us host your podcast. She's probably got the night off. Who knows where she's at? She's probably down at the only bar in that corner of Nebraska.
Yeah, I've been over there.
Any bars there? Have you?
Yeah, I think it's called the Hump and Pump. I think that's the name of it. Don't quote me.
I opened a can of worms. Ryan's always going to top me.
Yeah, thanks, George, for letting us come on here, and thanks for everybody putting together. We had about 4 or 5 different deadlines, and we still had late people, so it's not easy putting these lists out, but I appreciate all the effort that went into it.
Yeah, especially, again, thanks to William. He was the one that endured most of that. So we'll do another one for 2021. I think it's going to be a yearly thing now that we're finally getting some traction with this. So, you know, for those of you that that do like to read, I know there's still a few of you out there because I see all the clicks on these articles. Jump on the homepage, rockslide.com. That's rokslide.com. You'll see the 2020 top Rockstaff picks there. And plus, you're going to see a whole bunch of other reviews on there. I think Justin and I put up like 25 reviews in December, and we still got more to come. So always check out Rockslide. If you're going to buy anything, if we haven't reviewed it, I can almost guarantee someone on the forum has used it. Just create a post and start asking questions.
Yep, I think we're over 1,000 reviews now. So chances are, if you want to see a review on it, it's on there.
1,000 reviews in 8 years. Yeah. So that's about 120 a year we've been doing. That's pretty good. So that's over 2 a week.
Yeah, and that's a credit to you and Justin, because we'd have had about 100 reviews if it was up to me.
100 reviews. You think you'd hit 100, bro?
Well, I wouldn't have, but I would have made at least 100 happen.
I'm just teasing. Gosh. Hey, well, good to hang out with you, dude. Let's do this again next time Jordan needs a night out to the what you call it? The hump and pump. To the hump and pump, man. We'll take the mic and we'll get together again.
All right. Thanks for coming on.